Welcome back, AIMP Nashville Pubcast listeners. It is your host, Tim Hunzi. Can you believe it? This is the final episode of this season. I can't believe we're here, and I have one of my all-time favorite guests. Yes, myself. It's my solo episode. Kind of kidding. I'm not my favorite guest. But we have a great topic today, one of the hotbed topics that has been around. We're getting right into the center of the storm today. We are going to talk about AI and copyright. We are talking about the real legal business implications that are hitting songwriters, artists, and producers right now. If you create music, you're going to want to stick with me. This is going to affect your catalogs, your splits, and eventually how you get paid. So let's start where everything begins in this business, copyright law. So what is going on with AI and copyright law? Well, this is pretty firm. Human authorship is still the law of the land. I'm also going to make another note. I am reading a little bit today because I want to be very specific. So if I sound a little robotic in this episode, it's not coming off the top of my cranium. These are real notes that I have today. In the United States, right now, copyright protection requires human authorship, a human author. This is not a vague concept or idea. It is foundational principle that is repeatedly reaffirmed by both the courts and the U.S. Copyright Office. Purely AI-generated music, friends, is not copyrightable at all. The human-authored elements can be. That's our little caveat. So if you're using AI and it generates a melody or a full track and you never modified it, legally, not copyrightable. If you're taking something straight off a prompt and you, whatever it spits out you're using, not copyrightable. However, if you rewrite the lyric, change some chords, record a vocal, arrange the sections, mix it around, your human contributions are protectable. Again, at times, this is a bit of a gray area on what all that looks like and how the splits are, but that is the reality of what we're looking at. Courts do not protect machine creativity. They protect your creative input. AI training implicates copyright. Even before a song is generated, and let me explain what that means because that sounds like a lot of garbage as I spit it out. The Copyright Office AI training report makes a critical point that is so important. When AI companies copy copyrighted music into training data sets and they store these works and they break them into segments and show them to models in batches, they are already reproducing copyrighted works, whether or not the output later resembles those works. Does that make sense? Because they're learning off our copyrighted material. So it means what they're spitting out is already copyrighted at some level. So that's where a lot of the lawsuits come up. We're going to touch on that a little bit later in the program. And training isn't some mythical learning process. It's copying at a massive scale. And that's what has been happening. Some uses might be fair, like narrow research or non-commercial testing, but commercial generative systems, those are not automatically covered by fair use, and many are unlikely to be. And here's the kicker. Just because AI learns like a human, it does not make it legally equivalent to a human memory. Humans forget, AI systems make perfect copies and can generate at massive scale. So courts treat that differently. And again, this is where the lawsuits have come into play. So a little part two to this is our lawsuit settlements in the new licensing area. We are literally in the middle of a legal trench of warfare right now. We have multiple lawsuits that have been happening because music publishers, labels, performing rights organizations are all suing AI developers over unauthorized use of our sound recordings, out of unauthorized use of our lyric reproductions, and of the ingestion of entire catalogs without permission. And these aren't fringe players. These are the majors like the RIAA, the NI, the NMPA, the international societies like GEMA are all getting involved. And these cases are trying to answer the same question. Does training AI on a copyrighted music without permission constitute infringement? The NMPA and the RIAA have been very clear in briefs. AI training is commercial. It's non-transformative, and it uses works in full, all of which weigh against fair use. No court has created a definitive precedent yet, but the pressure is immense. And the first major appellate decisions are coming. So again, basically, we are considering this non-fair use, although there are a lot, including the government at times, are trying to make it fair use for these generative systems to learn our copyrighted materials and call it fair use. And we disagree wholeheartedly and strongly against that. And while the lawsuits move, something else is even happening, the deals. Deals are starting to happen. And like I said, even as I was preparing this during the past couple weeks, deals are starting to happen in the business world. Because the business world, my friends, is moving faster than the courts. Udio and Suno, the two most prominent generative AI music platforms, have already settled with the major labels and have agreed to pivot towards licensed AI models. So what does that kind of mean for us? They will have no more uncontrolled scraping of recordings, no more black box training, no more trust us, we're going to do something transformative. They will now train on legally licensed catalogs and pay for the privilege. This is exactly how streaming kind of evolved, as you may recall. It was kind of the Wild West, which is what we're kind of in with AI. Then there were the lawsuits, and there's licensing, and then there becomes the industry structure. And currently, AI is following that same kind of path and model. Honestly, I could almost do a whole podcast episode, I think, on what these deals mean. There's not a lot of detail out there what they've agreed upon with Udio and Suno right now. So please keep up on that and read. That does mean that when I say these, there's mostly labels that are coming into these agreements that are then going to allow these services to use their copyrighted material. What I do know is it's going to give artists an option to opt in. I do believe Udio's is going to be more of a system where it's more for fan engagement, where they are now going to be walled off. And when you use that platform, you're not going to be able to take it out of there. Again, check with your resources. This is all stuff that's happened in the last couple weeks, and I haven't deep-dived those deals and what they mean. There's not that much out there yet. But bringing it back to this episode today, so what does this mean for us as creators? What does this mean if we're going to pivot a little bit out of the legal weeds and into the real world of making music? There is a question I think everybody's asking, should I use AI in my creative process? It just depends, is my answer. And why do I say that? Here's the most answer I can give you right now. It's just use AI cautiously and carefully. When I speak to that, let us remember, there's two copyrights we're talking about, right? There's the sound recorded copyright, but there's also the song itself, that copyright. The copyright we value as songwriters and publishers. And I will clarify, on the sound recording end, people that are using those services like Udio and Suno, I understand why you might play with those, as you can maybe create a quick demo of a song. And just to remind people out there, what is a demo? A demo is a demonstration recording. I get it if you're a writer that doesn't have a lot of budget and you're writing songs at home and you want to just spit out a song to maybe pitch or to even present your songs to a publisher or to get a deal or whatever. Maybe you have a version of a song you think, man, if I could just tweak this for a particular pitch. I get that. I understand that. Where some of my writers are using it to recreate vocals, I get that part too. So that's the song recording, right? The sound recording itself, the instrumentation where you put in your own lyrics, you put in your own melody, and it spits out your song. I will put a caveat in here. I've heard multiple people mention that even using those services, that at times they will hallucinate. They'll change your lyric. They sometimes can change your melody. You got to be careful there, friends, because when that starts changing things and then AI is creating, that again is not copyrightable. I know it's gray and it seems hard to understand, but you want to make sure what you put in and what you get out is identical on the lyric and the melody side. That's a little caveat. Just something I've noted from people that have used these systems. So I get it if you're using this for some brainstorming from some of these soundscapes, demos, and experimentation, but I have to tell you, when it comes to final commercial masters or primary songwriting, you should proceed with extreme caution. Why? Because there's no legal precedence protecting your rights in a fully AI-generated composition or recording. You might own the output according to the platform's terms of uses with Udio and Suno particularly, but that does not equate to copyright law. A terms of service agreement only gives you permission to use an output, but it can't magically transform a non-copyrightable machine product into your intellectual property. Remember that. And then what's going to happen when money's involved, publishing splits, master revenue, sync licensing, you want zero ambiguity there when you're using anything AI. Again, for demos, sure. You can generate a vocal demo. You can create a track or test a song idea cheaply and quickly. I get it. For master recordings, not recommended, not today. Even if you're allowed to distribute an AI-generated track, you're standing on shifty legal grounds. Lawsuits are everywhere. There's no guidance. There's no court precedents. And there are rapidly changing business models. And if you're a songwriter pitching to an artist or a publisher, AI as a demo does make sense. I get it. I understand why you would do it. But if you're an artist releasing commercial masters, as AI is your primary creator, it's a legal risk and dangerous to me. You don't want the judge to deciding who owns your song at the end of the day. Now, on the songwriting side, AI as a collaborator or a co-writer, I want you to hear me. I cannot recommend this. And I can unpack that. If you want to talk about authorship, if AI writes 100% of the lyric and melody, again, you're not the author, you're a user. If AI writes 80% and you adjust a few words, you're still not an author. To qualify for copyright, your contributions must be original, creative, and more than just trivial editing. So if you're stuck, you need a starting point. If you need style ideas, maybe that could be a resource. But using AI as a co-writer is a bad idea. Do the writing yourself. That's how you protect your work. Being the creator, you are a creator. You got here because you wanted to write songs, and I cannot express that enough, because you really risk things. And if you're, and I want to say this to the community, because I've brought this up in conversations with people. If you're in a co-writing room and you're not being honest and telling your co-writers that maybe you've used some AI in that room, that's a horrible thing to do. Because as we start going down the road and lawsuits do happen, if a song gets out there and starts making money, that can get you in some real murky waters. So again, I highly recommend not using it all in the writing space. I just don't think it's a good idea. I just think there's too much to lose. And I just don't think it's a, I just don't think it's a good idea. I cannot stress that enough. I do know, because, you know, that's another little part of here that, you know, there are PROs, ASCAP, BMI, and SOCAN are registering AI-assisted songs. You know, I still don't think that's a great idea for you to get into that space, because they will only pay royalties on the human author portion of that song. AI gets 0%. It doesn't make money. So when you register, you're going to have to put it in there that AI, you're going to have to disclose your use. You're going to have to identify your human contributions and register only the parts you actually wrote. And think about the splits, and you're going to have to start splitting it up. So you're going to end up with a smaller piece of the pie. And this is where split sheets get real. So again, can't really recommend it right now on the songwriting side. So friends, where is this going? Where are we going? Well, again, it's a bit of the Wild West. We are still in chapter one of this, and it's moving so fast. I would guarantee you, if I did this again next year, it's going to be completely different conversation, or maybe not completely, but some of it's going to be changed. Copyright has not changed. No court has laid down the definitive precedents yet, but the momentum is building fast. The lawsuits are mounting. More and more music companies are starting to move into licensing deals with many of these current platforms that are out there, but more are coming. Trust me, it feels like every other day something new's coming. Governments are indeed watching and starting to voice their opinions, and creators are definitely experimenting. There's been a case recently that of a song that was released, and then the DSPs pulled it because the vocal was AI'd, and I believe it was too similar to the original, an original voice. It's messy out there. But this won't be a philosophical debate for long. It'll be a legal framework, just like streaming, just like mechanicals, just like sync. AI isn't going away, though. But its relationship to copyright and royalties and authorship is about to crystallize in the future. So if you're a creator, again, here are the key takeaways to me. Be smart. Be cautious. And again, my recommendation is to refrain from using it in your creative space as a songwriter, particularly. We want to protect your art. You want to protect your authorship. You want to protect your catalog. So I really encourage you. I understand if you're curious. I'm a curious person. I've played around with it. I've used it for multiple things, not in any space regarding music or creating music or any of that, but just as a service of like, you know, hey, chat, create me a trip itinerary over here, or I use it as a search tool or a research tool. It's fantastic. I get it. And I want to leave it on another positive note, because also in all these conversations, because this is the more legal and business side that I got into today, that, you know, often I've been hearing it come up that it's just going to be detrimental to the creator. I believe I even said this on the first time I talked about AI. I don't believe that. I believe there is a human element that can never be reproduced. There's a connection. I've done this for 30 years, and when you get people in a room and they're writing a song, there's a connection that is so special in those rooms that I don't believe can ever be recreated. When you go live and you feel that human connection, that can never be recreated. And we're flawed and we're broken, and we bring our traumas and our joys and our emotional journeys into songs. And that's what speaks to us. This is what makes you listen to music, because it moves you, it makes you feel something. My hope is that maybe this will challenge us to be better writers. It'll challenge us to create even deeper and more prolifically with these stronger, you know, lyrics, and get away from bland topics, because, man, AI can spit it out. It can, and it is, and it will. But I do believe in the power of the creator and the human heart and soul. And I just don't think a computer or a machine will ever get to the level where it ruins that. So I am a romantic and a hopeful, and I just believe that we are going to have some challenges. It may challenge some sectors of our community, maybe players, producers, because, you know, it does spit a song out in seconds. But on the other side, maybe it's helping somebody in a room in the middle of nowhere where they don't have access to stuff, and the next most amazing artist and songwriter is coming out of that space. Again, when I say that, helping, I'm speaking more specifically to the demo side of it, not the creative songwriting side of it. So again, people, protect your art, protect your authorship, protect your catalog. As always, I thank you for listening to the AIMP podcast. You could do me a big favor. I don't usually ask. I should have put this at the beginning of the episode, but if you can, go subscribe to on the platform of your favorite platform, like, comment where you can on the platforms. It really helps us out. It's a joy to do this for you all. I really enjoy being able to sit down and create content that's useful, that serves a purpose as well as entertaining. And I really hope this particular episode has helped clarify some things for you as a songwriter, an artist. Share it with somebody who's exploring AI tools right now or wants to know more. And stay tuned, friends, because the music industry is about to rewrite these rules of creativity and authorship and who gets paid. It's a wild west, but it's coming together. So be an advocate, be vocal, be smart, keep learning, keep paying attention. That's what I got for you. So my friends, till the next one, have a blessed one. Talk to you later. The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzey. Producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.